The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
So good to be here. Greetings from my church in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Go Packers. Just want to say, I left here not caring about football, and I care about football even less now. So it's really pitiful. They invited me once to go to a game, and never happened again. So anyway, I don't care. But I am, for those of you who don't know me, I have a church in the north woods of Wisconsin, in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Beautiful. We're improving. Last week it was 16 below. This week it was only about 4 below. So praise the Lord. So excited about that. If it's okay, before I preach today, I want to just brag a little bit about what the Lord's been doing in Tomahawk and what he's been doing in our church body there. We too have an incredibly generous church body. Max has come over to us a couple of times. I've taken 2 teams over there. And one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning is hearing the voice of the Lord. And I heard the voice of the Lord in August when I was there with a team, and they said, and the Lord said, don't go to Ukraine in January, because I often go to Ukraine in January. And I just said, okay. I didn't know why, so we didn't even plan it. We didn't even start planning it. Just the value of knowing the voice of the Lord and being able to obey that. I am going to talk about that some this morning. But anyway, we had an amazing time there. God is doing great things. I have the unbelievable privilege of pastoring a church that has one of the absolute best and strongest counseling teams in the Upper Midwest, and I'm not kidding. We have an amazing, amazing team. They are highly gifted. They are highly trained. They do sozos as well as a ministry called Restoring the Foundations, and they are amazing. And the Lord, this year, we very quickly redid the youth building, which had been, you know, where we did our garage sales and stopped being the youth building. And we have an amazing counseling office. It's really beautiful. And one of the men from our church, and I would love you to see Art, because he's tattooed all over the place. He looks the least likely gardener you've ever seen. And he came to us and he said, I feel like the Lord is saying he wants us to build a garden around the Rafa House, is what our ministry is called there. And it was interesting, Dan Notley came to us, and we went out while they were building the Rafa House, and we went out and prophesied in there. And I had seen for some months, and I especially saw that day, gardens and people wandering around this area. And then Art came, and he said, you know, I want to do a garden. He says, I'm going to pull some things out of my garden. He has a very phenomenal garden in his own yard. And my imagination is he's going to pull apart a few hostas and bring in some pretty cool things. So he's really insistent about this. And he told Diane, the head of the counseling ministry, you know, I want to get together with you and Alice, and I want to talk about this. So I had him over to dinner, and Diane's husband and Art, and he's kind of antsy, and he's he is a Milwaukee, Chicago ex-criminal. Okay, I'm just going to say that. So he's a very unlikely gardener. And so he's kind of antsy at dinner, and finally at the end, he's like, he wants to talk about the garden. And he sits down, and we clear the table, and he sits down, and he unrolls the plan for the garden. And Diane burst into tears, because it's very personal, because she lost her son in a car accident a number of years ago, when there's a memorial garden there, which I have hated since I've been there, because it looks like a cemetery. And we're going to get rid of that. And she burst into tears, because this is a garden of life. It's a $20,000 garden that over $1,100 of it has already been donated by the community who used to call us the snake handling church. This is the King of Glory. This is the King of Glory. And the church itself has not put any money toward it. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to have three prayer places. It's going to be a fenced and gated, locked prayer garden, no technology in it. It's going to have a little prayer house. It's going to have a water feature. It's just amazing. And when I announced it at church, everybody's mouths just dropped because nobody has been involved in this but Art and a couple of other people. So God is doing amazing things there. Our Restoring the Foundations ministry is very active. We do a lot of training. People come from about a 5-state area where it's really an amazing thing. And one of the things that I love, love, love about my church, and we've talked about this often at church, is the value in hearing before you think. Because if you turn, imagine a funnel. If you think first, the Lord can't drop much in there. I mean, it's okay to think. He likes our thinking. He's okay with that. But if you hear first, the possibilities are endless. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. Now, do we always get that right? Absolutely not. But we're getting it right more often. And I'll give you a couple of examples. We have a couple that retired. Some of you know them, Tom and Susie Zabel. And they stepped down from eldership. And when they did, you know, we asked the Lord who's supposed to be the elders. The Lord gave us a name. We did not do this through logic and reason. We asked the Lord. He told us. Do you know if you ask him a question, he's very anxious to answer it? What a simple concept that we forget so frequently. It's just that easy. We will often just go, okay, well, Lord, what's true? What do you say? So easy. And how often do you forget it, honestly? So when the Lord told us the couple, they came in 2 weeks ago, sat in my office, and I said, I feel like the Lord is asking you to be elders. What do you think? And they said, oh, yeah, he already told us that. The next week, we needed a new trustee because one of our trustees moved away. He came into the office with his wife, and I said, you know, I feel it was unanimous, really. We all heard your name. And he said, he just got back from a safari in Africa. And he said, oh, yeah, the Lord told me that. I got my administrator, my other administrator, Susie, is the one who retired. I came into church one day, and I said, the Lord told me who the new administrator is. And she said, he told me, too. Who did he say to you? And I said, Katie. And he said, yeah. So then a few days later, we asked Katie to come in, and we said, we feel like you're supposed to be the new administrator. And she said, I knew that. I had a dream. And I tell you, I feel like we're in the days when it is so important for us to clear the air so that we can hear like never before. You know, our brains are great. Our grains. And grains, those are bad for you. Don't eat those. But brains good, grains bad. Anyway, should see me in our trustee meeting. For those of you who know me, I was an English teacher for 14 years. It is a rare breed of cat that actually likes English and numbers. So, I mean, I said in my first few trustee meetings, like with my mouth open and drool running down the side of my mouth. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I don't have to know about numbers, but I do know how to hear. So I began to hear, and I would say things to those guys that I was so disqualified for. And you know, I'm not kidding about this. I will tell you that one of the greatest strengths that I took to that church was the fact that I can't do a lot of things. It's incredible. I walked into church 2 weeks ago, not even 2 weeks ago, and it was 42 degrees in the church. Praise the Lord. No, praise God, it was better than that. So I learned how to fix that. Praise the Lord. If you ever hear your furnace breaks down, don't call me. But I did learn how to fix that. I mean, it really is. And do you know what that then happens to the body of Christ? Is that other people begin to do what they're good at. There are lots of things I'm not good at, and I have no shame in that. I am not an orphan. He gave me other things to do. But even in the things that I'm not good at, I can hear. I am not good at fixing the furnace. Tom, over the phone, told me how to fix that. Go out into the snow, pour hot water over this thingy, wingy, dingy. And I did just that. I sent a picture on my phone, and I said, is this it? Is this where I pour hot boiling water when it's this cold out? Yes. You know what? This is awesome. This is an awesome way to live. But, you know, one of the things, would you get ready to pull that up, Mandolini, Chili Beanie, Zettagrini? Because I want to show you one of the most important pieces of movie-dom you've ever seen. Now watch close, because it's only 29 seconds. Is that the one you got? Okay. Can somebody grab the lights? Don't put it on yet. Let's get the lights off here. Because it's only 29 seconds. I don't want you to miss anything. Okay, now I'm going to wrap a sermon around that. I'm not kidding you. Mandy, would you get that ready? We might show it again. Okay, now I want to tell you why that's so good. Because here we are, humanity, and you know that Jesus came because we're human. Did you all get that part? You know, he didn't come because you're capable and competent and sinless. He came because you got issues. So here's a typical scenario. Let's take common situation. Money. I'll just take one of mine. Lindsay's going to sell my townhouse this week. But I can tell you that is, yeah, praise the Lord. But sometimes it goes more like this. Oh, man, what am I going to do? I'm not going to get that sold. I lost the sale twice last year. This isn't going to go. And then, well, now what am I going to do? I don't have money to pay that mortgage. What? I don't have. And then you begin to agree with all that nonsense, and then you engage in all of that. And then you go on and on. I'm going to be so broke. I don't have anything, and this is not ever going to work. I can't afford to pay my mortgage and my rent and all of this. And we start to agree with the enemy when all we need to do really is pull the gun and go, too loud. You know, you just go on and you're hearing all of these voices and you're hearing all of these things and you start to agree with them. They start to come out of your mouth. So not only did you hear them from the enemy, now you're hearing them out of your own mouth and your own voice. And you forget what you have. You forget the power and the authority that you have, and you just go along with this nonsense. We all do it. I like to think I do it less frequently and for a shorter amount of time. Pull the gun. Pull the gun. Who is it? Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid that had the line, never take a knife to a gunfight? Is that? Let's show it again. And think about what you need to pull the gun on in your own life. Brilliant. That is such a preachable piece of cinema right there. It is brilliant because we go along with that, and he does that kind of stupid junk. He's all dressed scary, isn't he? He's just scary. It just looms large. My marriage, my money, my children, my church, my job. He just looms large, and he's like, and he's just throwing, and he shows off, and he tries to scare you, because he knows what you have. He doesn't forget what you have. We sometimes forget what we have, but he doesn't forget. So he's going to get as big and scary and black and dirty and nasty and lying as much as he can. We have something so powerful, so amazing, such grand authority. I mean, it's like when you're trying to hear something and people are talking over there, you know? We don't have to be polite. Somebody actually asked in ministry a few weeks ago, you know, I feel kind of sorry for the devil. Should I pray for him? No. Pull the gun. And then pull the trigger. Shut up, you're too loud. Shut up. Shut up, you're showing off. Shut up, you're flashing the blade. Who cares? Who cares? He tries to get big and scary. He tries to loom large. We had the world's scariest limb outside our second floor bedroom when I was a child. It scraped up there. It was scary. And all it was a shadow. That's all he is. He's a shadow. So the next time you've got some issue that you're going, oh, you know, what am I going to do? Look at him. He's this one. And a lot of times you don't even realize it is the enemy. And that you have the power. Wait a minute. What am I thinking? Down. What an event. Yeah. Yes. No whip. Yeah. I know. Didn't you love the look on Indy's face too? Now, I've heard different urban legends around this scene. I don't know if it's true. Jesse told me one yesterday that he was supposedly sick. They took him out of his sick bed to do the scene. And it was supposed to be this gruesome, hard scene and whatever. And he just pulled the gun. Well, and yeah, I've heard that. And how awesome. How awesome. Because he came to the solution, to the conclusion that all of us should come to. I don't care what it is in your life. If you name the name of Jesus, it's an easy solution. And you know what? And sometimes those things, you know, we charismatics are sometimes like, oh, get behind me, Satan. And sometimes our dad's like, I set that up. That's me. I set that up. Because we like to think, you know, God's in a good mood. I think God's in a good mood. I think he's grand. I think he's great. And you know what? If he's has better eyesight than you do. And if there's going to be a little bump in the road that's going to do you better than a smooth road without any curves, he's not afraid of that. Because there are plenty of times when we accuse the enemy of, you know, getting in our way. Okay, shoot him. And if nothing changes, it might not have been him anyway, but good for you that you shot him. That's always a great default. Shot it. Boop. You are talking too loud. I cannot hear my father. Bang. Because there is such incredible value in hearing first and then taking it through this amazing, marvelous, not grain, but brain that God gave you. There's value in your brain. But we've gotten it backwards so often that we're trying to reason through this. We're trying to figure this out. I can't. I go in my office just about every day. I don't know how to be a pastor. Praise the Lord, it makes me a good one. Truly, truly. There is nothing in my life that qualified me to be a pastor, except everything in my life. There's nothing that qualifies you to be a husband, a wife, a parent, a grandparent, a worker, except everything. And you got the gun, baby. And you've got ears to hear. And it was interesting, Tom Stahl prophesied over me this morning about hearing. This has been our theme. I tell you, it saved us at the church. Well, Jesus saved us first, but then in everyday things, hearing saved us. It's a remarkable thing. I can't tell you how many times when we had somebody come in or there was a need in church, Susie and I would say, okay, Lord, tell us. Tell us how much we're supposed to give. And she'd write it down, and I'd write it down, and almost 100% of the time it'd be the same. And I know there are people here that do that with your spouses. that do that with a prayer partner. It's a marvelous way to live. And guess what? You're going to get it wrong. Oh, well. You're going to get something else wrong. It's okay. I loved the song this morning. And one of the lines was, I've lost myself for good. And because my mind always does plays on words and flips words and everything, I thought of a time in my life where I lost myself for bad. And you know, you lose yourself one way or the other. You might as well lose yourself for good, the good one, the eternal king, the king of glory, the great I am. The one who loves to let you hear his voice. Praise the Lord. It's been good. It's been good at church, and there have been lots of days that have been hard. Raise your hand if that isn't true in your life. Everybody, you know, it does. It does. It's good days, bad days, days of life, days of trial, days of learning. It was always a joke that I grew up in this church. I can tell you I'm growing up in the church I'm in now, too. What a great and wonderful thing, and yet I'm more childlike than I've ever been. I can tell you my Christianity is simpler than it was when I left here. I'm less childish, more childlike. It's simpler. Well, maybe I'm still kind of childish. Because I do weird things, like another pastor who wore these weird polyester pants last night and a wig with sideburns. Oh, praise the Lord. Anyway, there. And by the way, in Packer season, if I had preached this late, I would be in trouble. Because we start at 9:30 and we're done at 11. And they're funny because when I used to go there as a guest speaker for years, I never actually knew what time their church got over. So I usually stayed until about noon 30. And now as pastor, they like me to be done at 11:05. So praise the Lord. I have an amazing, amazing church with an amazing intercessory team, generous, gifted, ready to go to Ukraine again. But I've submitted myself to my leadership because I have a leadership who hears the voice of the Lord. And so when they tell me I can go, I'm going, whether it's alone or with a team. So anyway, and it's a handy way to live, to have the Lord tell you things so you're not taken so by surprise. That's how I got there in the first place, because I already knew that Pastor Terry was going to ask me to pastor the church. So, because I heard that. Wow. It's such an easy concept. I tell you, if you don't go away with anything else today except shoot the devil when he's messing with you and scaring you, and hear first and then think, take those two things away. They are extremely valuable. That is a marvelous way to live in the power of the Lord. Even if it seems like the most irrational thing ever, doesn't matter. I'm going to read, open your Bibles if you would to tofu, also bad. See how I am, Pam? I'm sneaking some stuff in about Whole Foods and Whole30. It's good. Tofu, bad. Okay, praise the Lord. I actually did a sermon. Thank you very much. I'll keep it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Don't think I'm not taking it. Anyway, where was I before I got childish there? Tofu, yes. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know how many times I've heard that at a wedding? These are not wedding verses, by the way. I married somebody on the 4th of July last year, and I tried to talk them out of these verses. Well, we did them anyway, because they wanted them, and praise the Lord. Lovely wedding. But I'm going to read that to get to something else, okay? We're going to actually start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Because in chapter 12, actually, it's kind of cataloging the gifts of the Spirit. But in chapter 13, it shows us the correct use of the gifts for the Spirit. But I'm not concentrating. I am going through all of this to get to two words. Okay? With me? Let's do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I think of different religions, like Buddhism comes to mind as I read that. And the self-abasing life they live. For what? For eternity in hell. Because it doesn't come with love. Because this isn't just about love. This is about the God of love. Because how many of you know, you know nice people who are going to go to hell. You know Christian people who aren't as nice as hellbound people. You know, and by the way, Phyllis and I went to see the movie God's Not Dead. Presentation in there was really good and really powerful with a lot of logic. They fell short of praying for the miraculous, but I forgive them for that because it was a well-done movie. Okay, so I'm sure they're relieved. But this isn't just about loving well. These are verses that I can guarantee that people who didn't know the God of love had read at their wedding. So this isn't just about love. This is about the God of love. This is about loving through the Spirit of God. This is about loving unconditionally. And you know, we will very often say things about unity. You know, oh well, you know, we walk in unity in our church. We walk in unity in our church. It is not about walking in unity in your church. It is about walking in unity in the body of Christ. We actually have a church in our town, which I'm praying for. So excited to see what God's going to do. That pastor has been introduced to me about four times, and in their denomination, they don't believe a woman should be pastor. So I'm in a little tiny town. He sees me, and he averts his eyes. They won't come to the prayer meetings because they won't pray with anybody outside of their denomination. That was what he was trained to. I forgive him. I pray for him more than any other pastor in that town. God's going to do an amazing work. But unity is not that you get along with the other people who agree with everything you think, your doctrine and your theology. I meet with the Ministerial Association. Sometimes my tongue is a little bloody by the end of the meeting because I just bite it and shut it. You know, I tell you, one of the things that aggravates me so much is when people pray that somebody would be comforted as they die. Do you think we fell short there? How about if they don't die? That's a good idea. But I'm saying all of that to say that unity is not about that you get along with people who think the same way you do, that you sit under their teaching and you get along with them and we're unified. No, it's not about that. Unity is about honoring every part of the body, even when they are not doctrinally and theologically lined up with you. That's a hard call, but it comes out of this love. It comes out of this. It has to be this. And it can't be just some sentimental love. It can't be some reasoned love. It can't be just nice people, new age love. Because that's not eternal. It has to be out of a love born of the Holy Spirit in Christ. It has to be that. Because otherwise, you're still a clanging cymbal. Doesn't matter. I mean, have you ever been in a place, don't raise your hands, but have you ever been in a place where somebody is talking some worldview gibberish and you're almost starting to get convinced? We talked about biblical worldview at my church last Sunday. 9% of people who name the name of Jesus and say they are born again Christians, 9% have a biblical worldview. Wow. So that means they're saying, well, abortion is okay if you know you're going to have a Down syndrome baby. It's not okay. They say it's okay. I'm going to marry him, so I'm going to live with him. We're getting married anyway. That's not a biblical worldview. Sorry. Here's a concept. A man, a woman get married, just them. That's a biblical worldview. And 93% of the church that is born again says that's all that stuff's not true. And it comes from our schools. It comes from largely from our schools. Almost all of us in this room were educated in a worldview that was not a biblical worldview. I became a teacher who had a worldview that was not a biblical worldview. And I touted that garbage. Forgive me, Lord. I hope they were asleep. And so this has to be born out of love, out of truth, that we would walk in a way that would profit us. His kingdom come, his will be done. Because it's way easy to make all kinds of excuses and all kinds of things because of what we feed ourselves and what we've been fed in the past. You have to watch what you eat. There's that grain thing again. I mean, if you've got a steady diet of television and movies and even games on your iPod, I took Ruzzle, which is a word game, off my iPhone 29 times until it's... I'm like, are you kidding me? It's midnight. Yes, but I didn't do well in that last game, so I'm going to try to beat that. I finally took it off. I wanted to stomp my iPhone into dust. It's not good for my brain. I mean, if you, praise the Lord, if you can do that and go, I'm just going to play one game of, what is it, the candy? Candy Crush. I'm just going to, and if you can do that, more power to you, sister, brother. But we have to be careful what we're feeding ourselves, because if we feed ourselves the wrong thing, we forget we've got a gun that's fully loaded. We forget we can hear. We forget that we have the King of Glory who loves us, and his love flows through us, and it changes everything. You have to be careful what you eat. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Which, by the way, verses that secessionists cling to wholeheartedly by saying, do you see right here it says none of these things are for today because all that's been done away with. It's a well-known Bible teacher who I pray for quite often, who says that not only are people who speak in tongues wrong about speaking in tongues, they're also not saved. And he does conferences like that. So Jesus, help us. And you know what? I still have to be in unity with him. I don't have to agree with his junk. But he's part of the body. Won't he be surprised? Hi, I've been looking forward to meeting you, says Alice. Here I am. Praise the Lord. You're laughing, but you're wrong about stuff too. I love what Jeanine Bear teaches in her Bible school. Here's a great prayer. Lord, show me where I'm wrong. Been waiting for you to ask. What a glorious thing. But I can tell you, when you take out your pistol and you take a shot at the enemy who's showing off and looking all scary, you can hear better. So you can hear where you're wrong and adjust accordingly. There's no shame in that. Not one orphan in this place. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, there's nothing to be ashamed of, even if you get it wrong. It's a beautiful thing. By the way, I did that in my church one Sunday, this a couple months after I'd started, and an entire family left, and I haven't seen them since. It's okay. They went to a place that suited them, and they love the Lord. Praise the Lord. I bless them. It's okay. Actually, it was Luke Anderson. I blame Luke Anderson because he prayed in tongues at my church and gave a prophecy. And they left and praised the Lord. I'm like, really? We're a charismatic church. We do this. I had a woman get mad at me because I prayed for her and she got healed. Isn't that irritating? And I called her, and I'm not kidding now, I called her the next day and I said, I am so sorry that I went past your boundary, and please forgive me that I made you uncomfortable. I was wrong. But that Holy Spirit, look what he did. Isn't he clever? That's why it's better to hear than think, I'm just saying. Because he's a lot smarter than you are. And he knows how to love better than you do. And he knows how to give good gifts better than you do. So what a great, I mean, honestly, if you take this home and you start building your life on this, Lord, show me, what does that mean to hear rather than think? I'm not saying don't think. Hear first. It's a beautiful thing. It'll change your life. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. So again, that's part of an argument of the secessionist people that say, well, this is just a childish thing now. Now we have the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I love the Word of God. There are people all over this planet who've never held one in their hands and are doing great and mighty exploits in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Can't eliminate them. There are more people in the history of Christianity who had no Bibles than have had Bibles. So we can't eliminate them. It's not the Word of God unless you're thinking of Jesus, who is the living Word of God. Praise the Lord, we are glutted with Bibles. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. I love the Word of God. It's great. It's smarter than I am. But again, if you read the Word of God hearing first instead of reading first, it's that much more profitable and productive. Is that making sense? Verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Okay, now we're coming to the next two words I'm actually going to preach on for 8 minutes. Depending upon your translation, I'm going to look at those next two words, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Go ahead and let's see what, you've got New King James, I think it might be right there. Pursue love. I remember and desire all the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. I remember when I was the first year I taught, 1977. It was Sicily, 1912. No. tribute to the Golden Girls. Anyway, 1977, I had the best teaching contract among all of my girlfriends who had also been teachers, $6,800. Oh, yes, I did. And I parked my 53 Chevy Bel Air in my father's driveway, and I bought for myself a 1977 tan Gremlin. Yep. Life was good. I went to a little tiny town in South Dakota. And I tell you, I was in love. This was exciting. I was the English department from 7th to 12th grade. I was the journalism department. So I was basically the queen in my classroom. Oh, yes, I was. I was so dumb, I don't even know how I could sign the contract. I'm telling you what, I can't even believe what I didn't know. But you know how, you know, and then you tell your friends about it, and it's like, oh, I got my new car. I have this little cute house that I'm going to live in. I can just walk to school every day. It's so great. I have my whole classroom. I get to do everything I want. I'm going to change the world. I don't even know the Lord, you know. I tried to change the Lord. Thank God they didn't go like I thought. So I had a lot of bad ideas. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about my house. I'm very excited about my tan Gremlin. For those of you young people, it had like a square hatchback trapezoid. It was a trapezoid. That's what it was. It looked like a Gremlin, exactly. And yes, it did. It had a gremlin on the back. Now I wouldn't even get in it. Gremlins, no, in Jesus' name. Anyway, that's a Jesus card, right? So I'm in love. You ever do that? You know, when you've got a new relationship, and you're like, oh, he's just perfect. He's so quiet, and he just listens to me all the time. This is so, he just meets all my needs, and he just is so wonderful, and it's just so great, and I just love that he's always so quiet, and he just thinks, and he's so quiet, and I just love that about him. He's just a strong, silent kind of guy, and then when he says something, it's so profound, and I just love that. And then the honeymoon's over, and it's the most irritating thing about that man, that he never tells me anything. You know, fill in the blank. Fill in the blank, whatever it is, when you were all gushy about the man, the woman that you married. Don't tell them. Don't. But it's true. That's the bad news. The good news is found in the first two words of 1 Corinthians 14:1. Because, baby, when the honeymoon's over, you get to pursue love. When things get difficult, you get to pursue love. And love pursues you in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father God. And isn't he wonderful? And Judy, I know you know this, that there are times when we need Papa God. There's time we need the bridegroom. There's time we need our brother. There's times that we need the Holy Spirit. And he shows up accordingly. Because we get to pursue love, not because we're so lovely or because we are so naturally full of love, but because the one who loved us pursued us and poured his grace and his love in us. So now we get to do this. We don't have an excuse. That pastor who's never once looked me in the eyes, oh, I'm not going to say he's a project, but he's kind of a love project to me, okay? I'm just going to say that. And he may never change toward me. I don't care. But I hope for his sake that he changes toward the Lord and he receives from the Lord. They actually believe in their denomination that you cannot pray with another person from another church. Oh, Jesus. I appreciate a story Bob told a long time ago about, you know, a pastor was mad. Well, I don't get to speak in tongues there. And Bobism, you know how he is. He said, well, I can guarantee that there were times that that man was able to stop himself from praying that in tongues, because there are plenty of times that he didn't. Why do we hold on to those ridiculous things? Because this is truth. Sometimes we need to lay stuff down that we just are so entitled to. I'll tell you a little funny story. I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to just tell on myself, okay? There's an organization in our town, which is called Tomahawk Area Interfaith Volunteers. And so I wanted to get involved in that. I know the woman who's the president of that. She's came from a mission family. And anyway, I had them come to my church. And their object is to help elderly people and handicapped people stay in their houses as long as they can. So you go and you write letters for them. You prepare light meals and whatever. It's a wonderful organization. So I, you know, signed up. And I'm going to volunteer to do this. And I go to my orientation with another. There's only one other man there, and I know the woman who's now the head of this. And it's really funny. I got to tell you this. I always have to tell at least a couple stories to get to the story I actually want to tell. The week before, I thought my orientation. It was in my calendar. I go to the place. The woman who heads up the organization, the director, is there. And she goes, no, your appointment isn't until next week. And the Lord gives, now this is not a charismatic Christian. Lord gives me a word of knowledge for her. And about the first 2 minutes of my being there, she's weeping in my arms. The Lord is doing all kinds of amazing things. Wow, it's just great. I said, well, I know why that was in the calendar wrong, but I'll see you next week. So I go the next week and I go in and they go through all of these things. Okay, and this is how you do it. You know, we got to protect ourselves. So you're going to sign this and you're going to sign this and then you're going to do this. And then you cannot talk about your faith to the people you're helping. And I went, have you met me? I will. And I said, now, wait a minute, let me get this straight. And you mean to tell me that an elderly lady facing a godless eternity, I cannot say, you know, Jesus is the king. I can't say this. And she goes, nope, not by our bylaws. So I said, okay, well, I will. So then it ended up, you know, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? So we passed several emails back and forth. And I said, you know, I just can't. I don't know what to do about this. And several emails, and then they sent them. It got to be kind of a big deal. So then they invited me for lunch, and there was another woman pastor from a mainline denomination who, frankly, I don't even think knows the Lord yet and has never liked me. And I'm like, really, this pastor so-and-so is going to be there? And then the director and the president, all three women. And we met in a public place, I guess, so I wouldn't hurt anybody. I don't know. So we go in there, and the president has a stack of stuff on the table waiting for me. And they said, you know, I said, okay. She said, well, this isn't, you know, these are our bylaws, and this is not just about Tomahawk. This is what we have because it's faith in action, and it's any faith in action, but you can't do anything with your faith. You just have to be in faith with some faith, but you can't talk about it. I said, you know what? I'm going to bow out because I don't want to blow anything up here. I love Jesus. I love you guys. And we made a lunch date. They're coming to my house in a couple weeks. I didn't have to have my way in that. You know what? I got plenty of people that I can tell about Jesus to them. I didn't have to win that argument. And everything just dissipated. She didn't even open her stack. I mean, she had a stack. She didn't open one thing. I said, I will, with the love of Jesus, bow out of this and bless you in it. I will support you as a church. I didn't say this, but I thought I probably won't encourage my people to join it because we're kingdom people. We're not, I'm going to help you on your way to die to a godless eternity people. But I didn't have to win that argument. So I did what I do. I just invited them to lunch. And then we just had a regular chat about books and about how ridiculously cold the winter was and why do we live here and those kinds of things. Because I get to do that. Because it would have been to no avail to win that argument. Why? I'm going to blow up the whole organization because I want to... They didn't even assign a woman to me because their compromise was this, before I just bowed out. Their compromise was this, was that we will tell this elderly lady that you are assigned, that you're a pastor, and is it okay if she talks to you about religion? I'm like, doesn't work for me. I don't even want people to know. You know what the people in Tomahawk call me? You all know what they call me. Alice. Because I don't care. And I'm not going to blow something up just to have my way. Because I can tell you, I've led a lot of other people to the Lord in Tomahawk. Just in miraculous, amazing ways. I can't remember if I told you this story. I won't tell you the whole details. But a young mom, single mom, called and said, can I come in and have my baby baptized so he doesn't go to hell? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. So we just had a little chat. She came in. She got saved. She got filled with the Spirit. She went to jail a couple weeks later. Praise the Lord. God visited her in jail 3 times because she went in 3 times. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is kingdom stuff. This is kingdom stuff to have a religious person come and visit her in jail after she messed up. Not once, not twice. 3 times, and there's more to come. It's okay. And neither she nor her baby are going to go to jail and go to hell because she's going to get better and she's getting healthier and it's all good. So a lot of times we're so insistent about our way, and I am too. Man, I am, can be bullheaded. Man, I... That's probably one of the best things I've learned since I pastored. Have thine own way, Lord. Because you don't win when you get your way. Because he's smarter than you are. He's better than you are. He's better at loving than you are. So it's really good. I have learned the power of silence. The power of waiting. Because it's a big deal. Because we get to do that. I mean, I'm not a tattoo person, but I'm seriously thinking about getting that tattooed backwards on my forehead. Not so seriously. So every time I look in the mirror, I'd see that. I can write it on my mirror. I want to have it written on my heart. Because sometimes loving is the most difficult thing you can do. Sometimes walking in unity is incredibly difficult. And we're talking about walking in unity with people who believe that Jesus is the Christ. How do we walk in a place of an increasing population that has incredibly liberal ideas? And I've tried to discourage my church family from pursuing arguments about faith on Facebook. Jesus, help us. You will not win talking somebody's head into something. Even Dave alluded to that before. If I can talk your head into it, somebody else can talk it out of it. Pursue love. Pursue love. We sound ridiculous. We sound ridiculous, church, when we try to win an argument instead of winning a soul. We sound ridiculous when we try to win our way instead of Yahweh. We need to make some choices. You know what? I am uncompromising. I'm uncompromising. I've known for years that I was going to be martyred for Christ. I'm uncompromising for that. I told the Lord, please, God, I'm going to be mad if that doesn't happen. I'm uncompromising. The truth of the Lord, but I don't have to have an argument with you about whether or not you speak in tongues. And I'm not going to argue with you on Facebook. For one thing, you'll never see me on Facebook. But so you have to actually personally call me and tell me when, you know, you get pregnant or... Thank you very much. Have at it. Go after Facebook. It's okay. Whatever. That's not who I am. I'm not saying that it's innately evil. But what we do with it is sometimes not smart. So hear, and then do what you heard. It's a marvelous thing. Would you be okay standing up and just receiving an impartation this morning? I'm so glad this precious, beautiful little one, the mama did not have an unbiblical worldview and made a bad, bad choice. She's a blessing. Wow, does she look great? Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So if you just want to receive an impartation from the King of Glory, Father, we thank you that you've told us about gifts, you've told us about love, but most of all, you've told us about yourself. And I thank you that you have pursued us. You've been hot on our trail before our salvations and after our salvations. Father, we just choose today to put down the right to be right, put down the right to have our way, put down the right to get what we want, and pursue love. And Lord, even as you showed me that very first year of my teaching, that when the honeymoon's over, I get to pursue, even in my little 10-gram one. So, Father, I pray for your anointing on each one of us here to love like you love and pursue that. And let you pursue us like the lovesick bridegroom you are. I don't even think I'm going to run, Lord. And so, Father, I pray for your presence on each one of us, in each one of us, to be stirred so much that we would begin more and more to hear your voice, to respond to your voice, to obey your voice, and choose you rather than our way. I thank you for your love for us, Lord God. I thank you that you teach us how to love. We need you, Lord. We need you to teach us how to love in our toughest situations and with the most unlovely people. Even when that most unlovely person is a child, a boss, a spouse, a friend, us. I pray for your outpouring, Lord, your grace as we continue to pursue love. We love you and we bless you. We're so honored that you chose us. We choose you right back. And we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name.